Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Rock That Relationship. We are here with another wonderful episode in our season all about relationships, maintaining relationships, having effective and healthy relationships, and pretty much everything in between. We're so excited today to have on Catherine Giovanni, who is a best-selling award-winning author and advisor, writing a really wonderful book about forgiveness. And so we're going to have a chance to talk with her all about forgiveness today. So thank you for being on our show today, Catherine. And maybe you could just start by sharing a little bit about how you got into this work around forgiveness. Why did you write this book?
Well, first, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
The only way I can talk about how I got into it is to take you back to the beginning. It was the eighth grade. My parents were getting a massively ugly divorce with all the bells and whistles. And I come from a very dysfunctional background filled with alcohol. And I was getting bullied in school and tried to commit suicide. So I went through my teenage years. I did have one good friend who is now a surgeon today. And I was the first life she ever saved. Still friends today.
Wow.
But I went through my teens angry, the typical angry teenager. And then I went into my 20s and I was still angry. And then at 29, my mother died. And she got sober 3 years before she died. So we got an opportunity to forgive each other and make friends. But I only had 3 years with her. And then she died. And I looked at my life and I thought, I can't do this. I can't keep walking around with hatred and anger at all these people. So I started to forgive. So, and it was kind of made me feel better. And it wasn't until, maybe I'm a slow learner, but it wasn't really until I hit my 50s that I finally figured out that forgiveness was actually helping me feel better. I was feeling better. My career was, you know, taking off better. The clients were flowing and the world looked a little bit brighter. So I kept going. And then in my 60s, seriously dating myself now, but now I've really figured out what the special sauce to it is. And one of the special sauces is you don't have to forgive the unforgivable. I'm the only one that will ever tell you that. Sometimes it's not even appropriate. But if you use the forgiveness matrix tool in my book, there's other things that you can forgive.
You mean other things you can forgive surrounding an unforgivable act?
There's other things in your life you can forgive. For example, I'll have you create a list of people, places, and things. I did say places and things that you can forgive. And I want you to do it on a 10 scale, 10 being the most unforgivable act. And it could be something horrible. Your 10 could be yourself too, but it could be something. And that's why people don't want to forgive, because when I talk about forgiveness, they say, oh, no, they'll either run because they're thinking of their number 10 person, or they're saying, oh, well, I forgave them. All right. I'm sure you did forgive them. Well, let's try doing it again, because they usually have a little anger. And some people have a nasty habit of not staying forgiven. And sometimes you live with these people. And they're going to continue. You're in a relationship with them and they're going to continue to piss you off. So I suggest to everybody, they start with their ones and they go all the way to 10. For example, I forgave 1974. The whole year. I just forgave it. It was an awful year. That's the year I tried to commit suicide and I was getting bullied. And I sat there and I thought, okay, when I was writing my list, 1974 came out. So I forgave the whole year. And here's the special sauce to forgiveness. What everybody doesn't, everybody thinks, I say I forgive you and it's good. Okay. Well, there's another step involved. And also when you get angry, people think, well, I get angry and it dissipates into the air and it kind of goes away. Well, it kind of doesn't. It stays in your energy field, the anger. Albert Einstein proved that energy is neither created nor destroyed. It just transitions into a different form. So taking that into account, by the time I hit my 30s, I was a walking cloud, thundercloud. How can you see new relationships or opportunities if you're walking around in an anger cloud? That's where forgiveness comes in, because it's going to dissipate the cloud.
What do you do about the anger that, like, for the unforgivable? How do you manage that anger? Is there a way to dissipate that maybe differently?
There is. If you can't forgive the unforgivable, and I had a couple number 10s myself, I'm only human. There's other things you can forgive. You can forgive the house where it happened. You can forgive the street where you lived. You can forgive the chair in the room. You can forgive the energy around the entire situation. You can forgive yourself for any role you may or may not have played. There's always something else you can forgive. Forgiveness is like an onion. It may or may not work on the first pass, especially if you're talking about an 8, a 9, or a 10. So it's like an onion. You're going to kind of have to peel back the layers piece by piece until you can get it down to a forgivable layer. There's always something you can forgive, but you can forgive places and things because, as Einstein proved, there's energy around everything and you can forgive the other objects. So when you're writing your lists, don't be surprised if you write something weird like a little red wagon. Like my friend Katie did. She didn't remember a little red wagon, but there it was in her list. So she forgave the darn thing because she figured, okay, I guess I got angry at it at some point. So she forgave the little red wagon. But you're going to start to feel better. Your health is going to improve. You're going to start tasting food better. Coffee is going to smell better. You're going to be seeing new opportunities. That perfect relationship that you've been chasing for so long is probably going to walk into your life. Why? Because now you can see it coming. Before, you were so wrapped up in anger, you couldn't see it. Now you can.
Well, it's interesting. I've always thought of, like, bitterness or anger, people holding on to that, it creates, like, I think there's a link to cancer or other serious diseases, right? Like, because it's just something that's, like, tied up inside of you. And I've seen that. It's like, if you feed that bitterness, those are the people I've seen get, I mean, it's not always the case, but, you know, it seems like it really can lead to serious, serious health issues.
It does. Cancer survivor here.
Do you think, I mean, we don't know for sure where that comes from, but you're saying, and like, if you let go of that, you get this lightness and you can see things. It's like a lifting a veil of, I mean, is anger and depression or anger and like a poor outlook on life. I mean, they must be connected, right? Like
they are. Stress kills. Anger is stressful and stress is toxic and it kills. There was a Japanese researcher. I have a chapter in there with a couple of scientific studies to back myself up for the science people in the audience. And there was a Japanese researcher who did a study on water molecules. And he had two containers. You could look it up on the internet. And I'm kind of paraphrasing and doing this by memory, but one container of water, he said nice things to it. He did nice things to it. I mean, that kind of thing. And then the other container of water, he blasted with horrible music. He blasted it with negativity and swear words, and he gave it everything he got. When he put it under a microscope, the water molecules that got blasted had these nasty, dark crystal forms. You can see the pictures on the internet. They're really kind of ugly. Mm-hmm. And the water that was given love has these beautiful snowflake kind of formations. The human body is 98% water. So imagine what anger does to the human body. And those nasty crystalline forms are toxic and make you sick. Does it cause cancer? Maybe. Does it give you every Tom, Dick, and Harry flu bug that comes down the pike? Yeah. Does it give you bad stomach issues? Yeah. Yes, it does. I'm one of them. I got cancer. I had bad stomach issues. Hmm. And since I've started the forgiveness issue, it's not that I don't get sick. I did catch the flu, you know, a couple months back. But I feel better. And I don't remember the bad stuff in my childhood. Now, don't get me wrong. I can bring it up anytime you want me to. I mean, I do remember it, but I'm not, I remember the good parts. It's almost like my childhood's been rewritten because I remember the loving parts. I remember the funny parts. And my parents were number 10. How did I forgive them? I am not a religious person, but I did go to a grammar school that made me recite Bible verses. Every morning in assembly, you had to recite the Beatitudes and all these things. And I remember one passage said, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. And that is how I get to forget. That's how I forgave my parents. What he's saying is how if you're a second grader and you don't know calculus, I can't get mad at that because you haven't been taught it. So I can't get mad at you. So my parents did the best they could with the tools they had at the time. Was it good enough? No, but mm-hmm. they did the best that they could. And at the end of the day, I can forgive that. And that's how I forgave them finally. Took a few mental gymnastics and include, but yeah, that's eventually how I got to it.
I love that story too, because you're talking about how they were number 10, right? They were unforgivable.
They were.
But then 100%. Somehow moved to a point in which you forgave them. So I'm thinking about that transition when we might have had, you know, something in our romantic relationship, our marriage or our partnership, and someone has done something that seems unforgivable. You know, you have that Bible verse in your mind, but what are some other things people do to maybe transition from a 10 to something that they can eventually forgive? Or do things just hang out in the 10 forever?
You say it feels like forever, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But you know you've forgiven somebody when you can go on Facebook or see their name and you don't wish dirt on them. You can look at their name and it doesn't zing your brain and it's neutral. That's when you know you've reached it. Now, if you live with this person and they're a number 10, might I suggest that you think about leaving? If you're living with a 10, I think I might see if I could find someplace else to live.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly,
mm-hmm.
If you're living with somebody who's like anything between a 1 and an 8, okay, we can work with that. And as you go through the forgiveness matrix, and I do suggest you start with the easy ones. Here's another story for you. This is true story. I decided when I came up with this, I decided, okay, and I came up with a lot of this 20 years ago, and it was about 15 years ago. I was living in Apex, North Carolina, and I thought, okay, I'm going to start with somebody stupid easy. And it was a friend of mine from school. We were best friends, had no idea what we were mad at. And I thought, considering I don't remember why we were mad, I can forgive this person. So you don't have to put on music. You don't have to light any incense. Mm-hmm. You don't have to dance up and down on one leg. You don't need crystals. It's a really simple process. I sat in the middle of my bed. I put my hand in my heart just to remind me to say it with love and do it from my heart. And I said, I forgive you. And I really meant it that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't talked to this person in maybe 30 years. 2 hours later, she calls me up on the phone.
Oh,
almost dropped the phone on the floor. And we didn't have cell phones, which here's an actual phone.
Yeah.
And we got caught up and everything happened. And I'm a curious bear. And I said, okay, after all these years, why did you call me today? She said, it was the strangest thing. A figurine that you gave me way back when fell off my dresser and landed in the middle of my floor. And I decided maybe I should call you.
That's crazy.
If forgiveness, and we were 700 miles apart. So if forgiveness energy has the power to move a figurine off a shelf for a number one person, can you imagine what it would do to a 7? So once you forgive, if you're living with this person, you're living with your significant other, your partner, you're living with them and they do things daily. They piss you off. You can do this forgiveness matrix every day if you have to, and you're going to start to get healthier and they're going to start to notice and they're either going to come on the journey with you or not. If they don't, well, here's some side entertainment for you. You might piss them off, which might be a little entertaining depending upon who it is, but you're going to get healthier. Your life is going to change. You're going to see more love. You're going to see your life differently. And as you go through it, they're going to come with you or not. I mean, I've been married for 30 years and he came with me, so to speak. And we've had our ups and downs. It's, you know, marriage is a marathon, not a sprint. Mm-hmm. But he came along for the ride. And as I changed, he changed.
Did you guys sit down and talk about that? Like, okay, we're going to do this every day. Is it like a daily practice? Is it that
no,
let's never go to bed angry kind of thing? Or is it every day?
If I could give him to do the forgiveness matrix, that would be great. I haven't managed to do that yet. But the thing about us is the thing about going to bed mad, that's a beautiful sentiment, but in reality, that doesn't always work. One of the things he's done, and this is just him, Ron is always the one that apologizes first, no matter if I'm right or wrong. He always apologizes first. And then I come around and think, okay, that was my fault, my bad, or he comes around and we'll sit down and we'll talk about it. So if you're in a relationship, one of you, may I suggest, with all the love in my heart, needs to fall on your sword and then have the conversation.
Mm-hmm. I'm good at that. I'm good at apologizing. And then, like, I think for me, it's just better to let stuff go. I mean, I like to process everything, so I do want to talk about it, what happened, why this. But, like, I don't see any point in continuing to be mad about it. But I've been with people who just hold on to that anger and bitterness, and I've not seen that be very helpful to them.
It doesn't. It makes it toxic. And as you forgive your number ones, twos, threes, and you go up, you're going to feel lighter. You're going to feel better. And your relationship is going to change because you're going to turn into a different person. You're not going to walk around angry anymore. Anger is horrible. I'm holding a glass in front of me. And if I hold on to this glass for too long, eventually it's going to start to hurt my arm and it's going to move into my field of vision. And if I keep holding on to this glass that has anger in it, eventually it's going to take over my whole life because I can't think of anything else. All I can think about is the anger. It's all I see. It's all I hear. It's all I feel. And once you start to forgive people, you can actually put the glass down. And now I can see things. I could hear things. I could see the next relationship coming. My entire body language is opened up. I can see my new career. I can write that book, write that song, get that screenplay out. That anger really, anger is a straitjacket. 100%. And it ties you up just like a really solid straitjacket. And forgiveness is the key that will unlock that.
So you mean this is great. And I think about the key to unlocking it. So I've had situations where I have people that I haven't forgiven and I wanted to forgive them.
Right.
I wanted to find ways. I didn't know, was I supposed to do it myself? Was I supposed to talk to them? Did I need to, you know, not supposed to by external standards, but for myself, should I forget and just let it go and move on? What do I need to do? And I've been stuck. And I had one situation where I didn't forgive a past partner for decades and carried that with me into a relationship where I kept getting triggered by things because I hadn't forgiven this person, but I didn't. And my current partner at the time was like, you need to deal with this, but I didn't know how, like, I didn't know where to start. Like I knew I wanted to, but I wasn't sure. Was I just supposed to like let it go? Or was I supposed to like call this person and talk to them? So, well, how do you actually go from wanting to forgive to actually being able to forgive?
Well, the problem with forgiveness is nobody teaches you how. Everybody says you need to forgive your ministers, your teachers, your parents. You need to forgive that person. Okay. How do I do that? Nobody teaches you how. So I'm teaching you how. The first thing you need to do is, that's why I have you start with the easy ones. Everybody has, you know, shopping cart road rage. Forgive the person that just cuts you off in aisle six. You can do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can forgive.
Like in real time, right? When it happens.
Yes. There's always somebody, you know, the office coworker that just dissed you at the coffee pot. Okay. Real super easy people. And everybody listening to this podcast is thinking of somebody super easy. It could be a childhood buddy. Everybody has that super easy. Could be your sibling. It doesn't matter. That will get the party started. And forgiving the person, the energy around the person, forgiving yourself, the energy around yourself, and then forgiving the energy around the entire situation. And when I forgive, I feel kind of a movement in the middle of my chest. My oldest son does too. You'll feel something. So do a couple and your body will feel something. Now here's my warning. The energy is going to leave your body. The anger energy is going to leave your body. And to do so, it's going to have to come out somehow. So I want you to do this before you go to sleep. So a lot of it can come out of your body when you're sleeping. But some of it is going to, you might get a headache. You might get really sleepy. You might get really thirsty. Let me delicately say you might be in the bathroom for a while. This is all normal. You do not have the stomach flu. This is your body just clearing it. Don't do more than 10 to 12 at a time. I did more than 10, 12 at a time because I'm kind of an overachiever. So I did like 50 of them. I made my list and I blasted through the entire list and spent the next 3 days in bed with what everybody thought was a stomach flu. Hmm. It was not the stomach flu. It was my body trying to get rid of all of that anger energy that I had had stored up for decades. And it literally made me sick. So do 10 at a time. Start with the ones. Go and work your way up the list. And by the time you get to the 8s, 9s, and 10s, your body, you'll be used to it. Now, that being said, do you have to forgive the unforgivable? No, you don't. It may not be appropriate. Can you forgive and forget? Yes, you can. You can forgive the energy. You can forgive yourself. You can forgive the other things and then walk away. Walk away. Okay. Do you want to circle back later and re-forgive them? Sure. You could try again. Now, and if you forgive somebody and you don't feel anything, well, Catherine, it didn't work. Yeah, it did work. You just got rid of the first layer. You may have to take a couple passes. So once you forgive somebody, I have some worksheets in the back of the book and I want you to write down the emotion. You forgive somebody. What emotion do you have after you forgive? Do you feel you still have some anger in your heart or do you feel neutral? Do you feel nothing? Do you feel, oh, that feels better. You know, something like that. Write down the emotion. And there's a good chance you may have to circle back for more than one of them. So this is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's going to take a minute. It took me a couple years to forgive my parents. I have another number 10. I think I have that person down to a 4 at this point. Hmm. When am I going to forgive them? I don't know.
Hmm. When you're ready, member. Right?
Maybe. I don't know. It's a family member, so I'll let you know.
Do you think that forgetting without forgiving, that's energy still in your body? Like if you just try to shove it out of your mind or, you know, oh, I'm not going to think about this and move past it. You know, people that who don't want to process stuff.
It's still in your body. It's still in your energy field. Any unforgiven memory, any unforgiven person, place, or thing, it's going to hang around in your energy field until you clear it.
Until you actually go through the steps of forgiving, remembering, forgiving. Because forgetting, you're not really forgetting, right? Like,
you're not forgetting. It's still in a back, it's in a back, you know, drawer in your mind. You just shut the drawer and shut the closet and walked away. It's still there. Forgiving the energy, forgiving yourself, forgiving the table, the bed, the chair, the room, the city, the town, whatever it is, whatever that dark, dark, dark number 10 was. All three of us can come up with some pretty dark things. It's going to put some energy in there. It's going to put a little light in there, and that's going to be just enough to change the dial to allow you to move forward and see some light. Because you're also going to be forgiving the ones through the eights. So that's going to bring a lot of light into your life. And eventually, maybe you'll be able to turn around and forgive that number 10. Depends how dark it was. Some people can't. Sometimes it wasn't even appropriate. If you were raped and it was horrible, it's not even appropriate. But it does, let me be clear. Just because I'm forgiving you does not 100% mean they were right. Forgiveness is selfish. Right. It also doesn't mean I want a relationship with you. I probably don't.
Right.
Forgiveness is selfish. You do it for you. And it's not like Alcoholics Anonymous. You do not have to reach out and talk to this person if you don't want to. You can if you want, but you can. I didn't. I sat in the middle of my bed. Nobody has to know you're doing this. Hmm. You don't have to tell anybody. You do it for you. This is an exercise that is 100% for you. And it doesn't mean the other person was right. They're probably not even thinking about you, but you think about them all the time.
Right.
So whoever you're thinking about right now, your number 10, save that son of a you know what for last. And start with the easy ones. Because that's what everybody thinks. They look at my book and they, ooh, I don't want to do that. That's because you're thinking of your number 10, but We can do a lot of other work before we even get to the 10.
So, Catherine, if you're sitting in your bed right before you go to sleep and you're doing this process, are you like meditating or are you saying something to yourself? Or what is this actual kind of process that, makes this forgiveness release happen?
It's very personal for everybody. I am a horrible meditator because my brain starts to talk to me and I find it really hard to shut it up. So I've learned to meditate and just let the brain talk to me and let me hear the sounds in the room, but it still doesn't help. I do it anyways because I'm told it's good for me, but it's hard. So my process is actually really simple. I sit in my bed and I get quiet and I do my weird little form of meditating. Then I imagine the person in my head. Now, can you, both of you, imagine your childhood bedroom? Can you see it in your brain?
Okay. I have a lot of them. We moved a lot, so.
Any, no, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Any of them. Can you actually see the room in your head? Sort
yes.
of?
Yeah.
Okay. That's clairvoyance, believe it or not. And it just means that you can see things that in your mind, doesn't mean it's a Stephen King, you're going to see a ghost in 10 minutes. That's not what it means. So if you can't see your childhood bedroom and you're listening to this broadcast, get a chair, put a picture of the person, place your thing on the chair or something that symbolizes that person and talk to the chair. That's fine. But if you can symbolize, if you can think of the person in your mind, I just think that's easier. And you can do whatever you want. You can talk to that person. You can remember what happened. You can give them hell if you want to. Do whatever you want. This is your party. And you can do what you're all alone. So it doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want. And once you've done whatever it is, and for the easy ones, I didn't do anything. I just thought about the person and I remembered what happened. And then I put my hand in my heart and I said, I forgive you. And I tried to speak the words from my heart because the words don't matter. The feeling is what matters. The feeling is the entire thing. Saying, I forgive you, it doesn't mean anything. It's the feeling behind the words, I forgive you, that's the magic. If the person is dead, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where the person is or is it. You're forgiving for you. So if the person's alive or dead, it doesn't matter because they're still living in your head no matter where they are. So you forgive for you. So I say, I put my hand in my heart. I say, I forgive you. And I forgive the energy around you. I forgive me. I forgive the, I have a little mantra in the book that you can recite. And it's just forgiving the person and the energy around the person and the energy around the situation and the energy around you. If you are your number 10, this book is the first of three. And the next book is going to focus on what to do if the number 10 is you.
Wow. I definitely want to try this. I'm starting to think about like who's on my list, right? Because I think part of it is that I immediately go, like what you're saying is I immediately go to the number 10s and then I harbor that. And then I discount the fact that there are threes and fours there that would be helpful if I dealt with them. But I allow them to sit there because I think they're not as bad as my tens.
They're not. You're right.
Yeah.
They're not as bad as your 10, but that's why you want to clear them first.
Yeah. But they should be gone. Yeah. I let them sit there because I think in, you know, in comparison, it could be worse. They could be a 10 and then I don't deal with it. Yeah, exactly.
I can manage my threes and fours, but what if you have 50 threes and fours? Okay. You're managing them, but boy, those threes and fours are starting to add up, man. You know, there's a lot of them. And remember, you can forgive people, places and things. You can forgive your childhood home. You can forgive your grammar school. You can forgive the classroom where you got bullied. You can forgive the park. You can forgive, you know, your old job because a bunch of bad things happened there. You can forgive places and things. I really did forgive 1974. That's true.
Do you find that like if there's any situation where couples can do this process together where maybe they mutually forgive each other for something? Or is this really like an individual thing? I mean, how might couples use this?
I think couples can do the exact same. They get their lists and they do it together. I think that I can't think of a more beautiful thing couples could do than this because it will bring them together. It will spark conversation and it will get them into a real healing place. And the the energy of the forgiveness is going to literally bring them to make them one person. I can't think of a more beautiful energy than that. So if you can, if you're not married to somebody who, like me, who's very stubborn, if you can do something like that, I can't think of anything more beautiful.
Well, I want to give an example of a friend that I met in the last year who, the first day I met her, she just was saying terrible things about her husband. And I'm like, why are you in this relationship? And she told me she had a list on her fridge of the terrible things he had done or something she could hold over his head. And I was like, why are you
on her fridge?
Yes, on the fridge.
Oh, so he could see it? He saw it every time he went to get the fridge.
Yeah, and they have kids in the house. Oh, and gosh. So
the children saw it?
Yeah. There were
I have questions.
teens and older, but it was really affecting her life. And that's what we ended up talking about for months and months. Okay. Was like, all this is doing is either get out or let go. Like either it's ruining your life. Like you're not living a life. Like it was very sad. I saw it and it was so clear, the physical effect, the mental effect it had on her, and just holding that. I can't imagine the first meeting someone and the first thing I talk about is how horrible my partner is, you know? And it's like, that's just ruining your own life. Like, if you're so mad at that person, right, either forgive them or move on. Like you said, move out, because it is who that person doesn't care, but your life sucks.
And think about their children who go to the refrigerator to get a glass of milk and see that about their father every single solitary day.
Yep. Exactly.
So she's sabotaging her life, her kids' life, and kids are smart. You can think you're hiding things from your kids because you're not fighting in front of them. You're not. I'm a child of divorce. I'm the poster child for it. And I turned into the character of the typical angry person. And my posture is pretty bad. You can't see it because I'm looking at you frontwards. Right. But it's because of the anger from years of anger. It kind of made my spine curve a little bit. Mm. It's physical. It's going to hurt you in some way. And I know you love your kids.
Right.
And if you love the person, okay, first thing, please take down that sign off the fridge.
Yeah. Well, that was my point, was that, you know, her point was the kids didn't want them to get divorced. And I'm like, but what are you modeling? That then they should get in relationships where you just hold resentment and anger. And I mean, I've had some terrible things happen and I've also been a jerk and whatnot. And I'm very good at letting go. And my opinion on that is because I wasn't raised in a religious way. I've noticed with Catholicism, a lot of times there's so much guilt, like, associated with that. I was talking to an ex of mine yesterday who's, you know, she's Irish Catholic, you know, heritage, and she wasn't religious growing up. And so she felt she had escaped all that guilting and stuff. But no, that's how she's living her life now. And she's 53 also. And she said, I can't believe it that like, I'm doing what I saw these people do growing up that I said wouldn't happen to me. And that's how, you know, she's living her whole life that way. And it's keeping so much anger also in her life.
And she's been carrying it around for 40 years.
Right.
People look at me and said, it's crazy that something that happened 40 years ago or in my childhood, you could be in your 30s, maybe it happened 20 years ago or 15 years ago. It's crazy that I have to forgive something from way back then, but it's tripping you up. It's in your head. And you may not think about it every day, but it's a movie playing in your head that you don't know is playing. So the reel is moving and it's constantly here and it's constantly playing and you're trying to conduct your life and the reel is going and you're remembering these things. So by forgiving even the ones and the twos, that's going to turn the reel off. That's going to get your focus from I'm an angry person into I'm not an angry person. And for anybody who's listening, if you really don't want to do anything I said, then at least start with gratitude. Every night before you go to sleep, write down the three things you're most grateful for. It could be, I had a hot cup of coffee today. Mm. That's all I'm grateful for. That's fine. Write that down three times if that's the only thing. And within 10 days, you're going to have a list, a provable list, that there's good in your life. There are good things that happen. And if you keep it up, then you might work your way into, okay, maybe I can forgive my number ones now because there's a lot of good in my life.
Mm-hmm. What? Okay.
Go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
I always talk about this. So I read the book Toxic Parents when I was 47. And then I realized, even though people have been telling me for years, oh, you know, this is why you're having relationship problems. It goes back to your childhood. And I'm like, that is not true. There's no way that childhood is bothering me now. And it wasn't until I read that book that it brought something up that had happened when I was 17 that was affecting every romantic relationship I had, because as soon as I'd get in a romantic relationship, I started to feel suffocated and strangled. And then I began to view my partner as my enemy, you know, and like now I don't live that way. And it's shocking to me that like I would get in a relationship, love that person, and also see them as my enemy. And it had nothing to do with them. Right?
No, it doesn't. I was raped in college. I don't say this very often, but I was. Didn't I say anything back then? Nobody would have believed me. It was with the star football player. Who are they going to believe, them or me? Mm-hmm. And now I'm 62. Doesn't serve any purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to forgive that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I graduated from college. This happened in 1982. I'm 62. And they weren't a number 10 because it happened so long ago, but they were still in my head and it was still affecting relationships.
Because
it was.
Wow.
Right.
Well, gosh,
some of these things and, you know, some of these things that's why I want you to write a list and don't judge whatever you write down. And please don't judge what you don't write down. Okay. That first little writing of I'm going to write down everything I want, every person, place, and thing I want to forgive. You're going to probably want to do that list more than once. Cause once you get through that entire list, you're probably going to want to write a new one and start again. So when are you over with forgiveness? You're going to hate my answer. You never are. Humans are not nice to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody's going to always piss you off. If you have a family like mine, well, they're all dead now, but back in the day, they were always making me mad. There's, you know, there's a reason why I'm in North Carolina and they were in the Northeast, you know, it works very well.
Mm-hmm.
They're all past now, but you know, if you have a family like mine was, then you might have to forgive on a daily basis. But as I said in the beginning of the podcast, and I really have to say it again, if you are living with your number 10, please consider going and living with a friend, going to a shelter, go someplace. Because if they're a number 10, I think you need a break.
Mm-hmm.
Take your kids and go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, when I had gotten out of my breakup a few years ago, I had done a little exercise, which sounds like it's really kind of similar to what you're talking about. But I talked about what wasn't I forgiving. And then I actually like made a column and I said, how is not forgiving this impacting me every day? Like I'm a super analytical person. Like, what is this doing? It's shifting my expectations to more negative expectations of future relationships. Oh. It's making me feel horrible inside. It is occupying my mind. It's all I'm talking about with friends and they're getting annoyed with me, like all of this stuff. And so I was thinking about the analytical process of this, because I know that this is a heartfelt process, but for those of us who like live in our heads, like me by spreadsheet, thinking about some of the other things, the other questions we might ask ourselves to process through this. Do you have any tips for those kind of things for people like me to think about beyond, you know, what I said, you know, really how is this impacting my life? Like other things, when it comes to the forgiveness process.
The process for somebody analytical is brilliant for you because it is a process. It's something you can put in a spreadsheet, to be honest. You can put these people, places, and things on a spreadsheet. You can put, you know, label them from 1 to 10. And then as you forgive, you can write the emotion next to what it is. So you'll know exactly who you have to go back. Once you can look at the name and nothing zings and there's no emotion, okay, you can put a check mark on it, you put a line through it, you can take it off the spreadsheet. So the forgiveness matrix for you is brilliant. It's because it is very step-by-step type of thing. It's perfect. So when you're that, you know, I suggest to somebody like you, I don't suggest this to everybody, but if you're that analytical, make it into an Excel spreadsheet.
Oh, she will. She'll have it done this afternoon.
Turn it into an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah.
And I think that, I think that's going to really, really help you. And then just take, don't try and skip from 1 to 6 to 10. Go from 1s to 2s. Now remember, you can have more than 1 1. You can have 5 5s. You don't have to, it's not, I can only have a 1 1 2 3 4. You can have 50 number ones if you wanted to.
So make your list and then start going through the easier ones first.
Right. And then I want you to pick your list apart. I want you to pick I want you to put it in three groups. 1 to 3, 4 to 7, 8 to 10. You start with group 1, go to group 2. Group 3 is a bear. You might want to wait until you finish all the other ones first. If you're never ready to go to group 3, you know, that's fine too.
Well,
everything is correct in the session.
Clear out some other energy in your life anyway, right? So even if you have some group 3s or 10s hanging out there, at least you've gotten rid of a lot of the junk and you know how to do it. So my fear of forgiving, you know, the group 3s up, you know, 8 and above is like that maybe this person would reach out to you. And I, you know, like there's some people that I wouldn't want to have a relationship with going forward, even though I'm, you know, they're a close relative, but I would like, I don't want any bad negative energy anymore, but I also don't want to have them reach out to me or try and have a kumbaya moment.
You don't have to answer the email, the text message, or the phone. I think today they call it ghosting. Back in the day, we just said we were going to ignore you. Don't pick up the phone. I suggest just don't engage. If you really don't want a relationship with this person, don't engage.
So, and I've, for me personally, I've done a lot of therapy around that with family members. So I feel good about it. But let's say you said earlier, like you had 3 years with your mom, right? After she got sober.
I did.
Was that good for you? Like what if you had not responded to her? What if you had forgiven her, but then just didn't engage with her? Like, how do you see the difference? Like, are you glad that you had that 3 years, or is there any part of you that's like irritated that you let her back in your life?
No, I was glad I had the 3 years because my mother took it like a champ, and she died of cancer at the end, but she took it like a champ and she apologized for everything. Mm-hmm. And I apologized for everything. And the only reason I had 3 good years with her is because she finally got sober and went to rehab. So when she came out of rehab, she apologized and we had a conversation and it cleared the entire palate. So I was very grateful that I got 3 very sober years with her. She turned out to be a very funny person. She was fun to be with. She was smart. She was pretty. And who knew that the drunk that I grew up with could be like that? So it was like a breath of fresh air for me. So that situation was different. I'm very grateful I had the 3 years. That's kind of irritated. I only had 3 years, but not everybody gets the 3 years. So I feel very blessed.
But that's what we've talked about before on the podcast, Corey, like where we say, look at people, look at what they're doing with the, what is it, like the best intention, that, okay, they have the best intention, they're doing the best they can, and that makes you less angry. Now, if you say like, okay, your mom, she was that person, pretty funny, whatever, before whatever happened to her, right? And then life happened to her, and then she turned into this terrible
Yeah, she broke her hip, and even my mother can't get a gin and tonic in Lenox Hill Hospital with a broken hip. So
that's
she
what put her
to get sober.
So did having that apology from her matter? Because I know sometimes some of my 10s I'm holding on to because I don't think that they want to own that they hurt me. I don't think they've learned the lessons. I have a few of these 10s and I'm like, I don't know for sure, but that's part of why I'm holding on to the 10. And I know it doesn't serve me to do that, but I think if I got an apology or something from one of them, particularly an unsolicited apology where they came out of nowhere and was like, oh, I'm so sorry I hurt you, then I feel like the forgiveness process would be easier. But I haven't. And I know that I can't wait for that and I don't need that, but it's still there, like the desire to have it.
Okay, here's the apology from my mother mattered. I was young. I was in my 20s. So I was a kid, so it kind of did matter as a kid. Today, would it matter? No, it wouldn't, because I'm forgiving for me. Now, when you're imagining your number 10, or let's just dial it back. Let's say it's a number 8. Maybe that'll be easier. Let's say it's a number 8 person, and 8s are still hard. They're in that last group. They're still hard. And you want to get the 8 down to a 7 or a 6. Okay, that's fine. Imagine in your mind and play a movie in your mind, like a Disney movie, if you want, whatever you want to do. And imagine that they do apologize to you. Imagine what you would want them to say. Imagine the conversation you would really, really like to have with them, and then forgive them.
Corey, you've done that before. We talked about that also. And I think Corey did that. Were you, what's that called? Transmutation. I've done that.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
I'm very good friends with an ex, but one of the reasons that led to our breakup was me saying something really stupid right before I was leaving out of the country, and then her acting on what I said. And when I go back in time, it's not that I want to be with her now. I'm happy with the way things are, but I don't like how I acted. And so I go back and I changed what I said instead of being obnoxious and saying, well, then go find somebody else who's more fun. Then I say, oh, I'm sorry. I was such a jerk this year. I was in law school. I got hit by a car. Like, yeah, things weren't fun, you know, but at the time I was very reactionary and obnoxious. So now as a more mature person, I go back and I change what I said, and that maybe would change the outcome. Not that I want the outcome to be different now, but that I want to not have caused that, you know,
you problem. Want the feeling to go away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I changed my childhood by forgiving the bullies and everything in my childhood. I actually can look at pictures, because we all have pictures of our childhood and our parents and our, you know, I can look at those pictures with, I don't know if joy is in my heart, but I can look at them without, you know, dreading it. I look at those pictures and I can see some of the good times that happened. I couldn't do that before.
Mm-hmm.
So you're literally going to change history.
Yeah.
And if there weren't any good times in your childhood, because I know some people that just didn't have any good times, then you're going to look back and it's just going to be neutral and you're not going to think about it anymore. Okay, Catherine, I don't want to forgive them because I don't want to go into the memory because I don't want to think about it anymore. Okay. By forgiving them and diving back into that memory and changing it means you're never going to have to go into that memory ever again. You go in one last time and you get rid of all of it, and then you can move on with a clean slate. So you never have to go back there.
Right. Like, you're not stuffing it down. I mean, that's the thing. No. People brush it under the rug, that, you know, all the different cliches for that. And then it comes.
Oh, you're lifting
up
the, yeah, you're lifting the rug and getting, you're throwing the whole rug out.
Yeah.
In fact, you might throw out the whole room, to be honest, but.
Well, and at some point that's just a choice that we have to make. Right. I think there's a doctor who was in the Holocaust. She's a psychologist. I don't know if you know her. Edith, I think is her name.
I've heard of her. Yes, I do know her. I can't think of her name.
Her book is called The Choice, I think.
The Choice, yeah.
It's a choice to be happy, and right? And part of that is forgiving. And she had to forgive some horrific things. And yes, she's not excusing what happened by anybody, but she had to decide, you know, with her whole family being killed, she and her sister were the only ones left. And they had a chance at life. And she's like, I'm not going to be living unless I let go of this stuff, right? Because it's just eating her, crushing her soul.
To anybody who's really, really angry, I ask one question. What is joy? Do you have any joy and fun in your life? And 8 out of 10 of them look at me and say, I can't answer the question.
Hmm. Wow.
And that's because they just can't let themselves feel that. And some people use their dysfunction as armor. I am a survivor. I did it for years. I am a survivor, and this is my story. And they use their story and they spin the story funny, but they're a survivor. It built me. It turned me into who I am today. Well, okay. Yes, it did. You survived. And it was very courageous that you survived, because it was. But now you have to create a new person. And that's very scary, because who are you without your story?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know who I am. I don't know what joy is. I don't know what love is. I don't know if I've ever had it. That's how a lot of people think. But that's the scary part, picking up this book and saying, okay, I'm going to go into the 2.0 version of myself. I'm going to level up like a gamer. It's time to level up. It's scary, but I think it's time for people to level up, because now you are going to live in joy. You are going to find love. You are going to find the relationship. Are you going to find it within 24 hours of reading the book? No, I know everybody wants things instantaneously, but it might take a minute.
And if you do it together in a relationship, or even if you're one person in the relationship, it's just going to make the relationship better. And I think that
100%.
That like freaks people out too. I don't know, vulnerability, or, you know, you try and it's not going to work out or whatever, but no matter what, if you start doing this work, your romantic relationship, your friendship relationships, it will just improve the quality, right? I mean, I think your everyday quality will get better.
But even if you end up breaking up with this person, think of what you did for this person. You changed their life. You helped them get rid of their childhood trauma or their teenage trauma or their last ex who they've been hanging. It doesn't matter. Think of the energy you're going to shift in this person. What a beautiful gift.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Expound before we close. Can you just say that again? Because sometimes we think of a relationship as you have to be together forever, right? And then sometimes we're not together with that person forever. But if we have this positive effect, if we open that up,
many relationships are kind of like the ocean. And some relationships bring you into the shore and you stay there forever. And some relationships come in and then they go out with the tide. But while they're in, imagine how beautiful it is to be able to help somebody and shift the energy in them so they can become their authentic self, so they can become the person they were always meant to be, losing the anger. Do you think they were meant to be a little walking ball, a thundercloud? No, they're meant to do something. They're meant to be something. And even if your relationship doesn't last, you were the one, the guiding force that got them to move the energy so they could become who they were always meant to be. And if you're meant to be in their life, that's brilliant. And if you weren't meant to be in their life, pat yourself on the back and watch the butterfly leave, because you did that.
And you've done it for yourself then, if you're doing this.
And you've done it for yourself. I stand by what I said. I can't think of anything more loving than to do the forgiveness matrix as a couple.
This is awesome. I can't wait to read the book.
Me too. Well, this has been fantastic, Catherine. Thank you so much for being here and for sharing all this great wisdom with us. I know our listeners are going to want to find out more about you, where to find you, what's next on the horizon when it comes to this forgiveness work. I think you alluded to maybe another book coming out. Tell us what's going on in your future around this work.
When I wrote this book, I handed it to my editor, who's also a very, very close friend of mine. And Katie gave it back to me and she said, "You've written 3 books." She chopped it into 3. I said, "Okay." So book 2, I'm working on right now, and we'll see if there'll be a book 3. I'm kind of thinking it might be 2 books, but we'll see how it plays out. If you'd like to buy the book, it's called The Ultimate Path to Forgiveness, Unlocking Your Power. You can go to my website, which is KatherineGiovanni.com. Catherine is spelled really weird. K-A-T-H-A-R-I-N-E. Thanks, Mom. You know, Giovanni.com. You can also go on Amazon. It's on there. And my son and I are working on producing the audiobook as we speak. So hopefully the audiobook will be out in a couple of weeks, and the ebook is also on Amazon.
That's great. And do you see people, are you like a coach or anything like that?
Sure.
Do people, sessions with people individually?
Absolutely. Just go to the website, click on services, and we can do an hour or 90 minute session, whatever you want. You want me to kind of lead you through, but do not start. Just please don't start with the number 10s, and please, with all the love in my heart, please only do 10 to 12 people at a time, because I really did make myself sick once.
All right. Straight from the author's mouth, recommendations for how to best utilize this amazing tool. I can't wait to check it out. Again, Catherine, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, and thank you so much for sharing your insight with us and all of our listeners. And until we chat again, for everyone, go out there and rock those relationships. If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.